Hey, before we get started, I wanted to invite you to join me on a free 2-week walking challenge. That's more than a walking challenge. It's a challenge I did in January and went over smashingly. People had such amazing results. It was so fun to do, and I'm doing it again. You can join now by going to myselfagain.com. It's a free challenge. It is low pressure. I'm going to give you meal plans and recipes and all that stuff. You can follow those or not. You can just walk if you want. This is a challenge to help you reset your energy. This is a way to learn more about what's going on if you're perimenopausal or menopausal. It's just a way to reconnect with the things that really matter when it comes to our health. Each day I will send you an audio, and basically I'm going to keep you company while you take a walk. So if you enjoy listening to podcasts, you're going to love this. So get signed up today. Go to myselfagain.com. You can literally go right now and sign up while the show is playing on your phone. The show will keep playing. Get yourself signed up, myselfagain.com. What's up? Hey, welcome to this edition of The Chalene Show, where we're actually going to go on a walk, so you don't need to put on a seatbelt. You might need to put on some comfortable shoes, and Brett is with me too. We're going to talk about the fact that, well, I had to break the news to Brett about Shaquille O'Neal and I, and now I'm telling the world. Also, Brett and I are going to share some of the dumbest ideas that I've had in terms of our business that just, oh God, have PTSD thinking back on them. I will also be sharing some of the things I just find randomly embarrassing. And I know I shouldn't, but they just, when these things happen, I am kind of a little mortified, and I shouldn't be. And our thoughts on documentaries and the trends in documentaries right now, that and a whole bunch more. Thank you so much for being here today on The Chalene Show. Let's do it. Listen, we got to get this walk in. I'm going for 19,000 steps as my goal this month. So,
same goal.
Yours is 19 as well?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll see if we both get there then. No wonder we're both so like, all right, you want to go for a walk? Yeah, you want to go for a walk? So, we were just reminiscing about some of the things, like back in the early stages of our marriage that, yeah, it seems like 100 years ago, and it seemed so hard. And I think from a little PTSD, I can't remember a lot of the details. But so, you know, I started the kickboxing program, Turbo Kick, right? And Brett had quit his job then. We were both doing it full time. He was helping to get like operations down and costs down. And I'm coming up with all these wild ideas and coming up with new workout ideas. And so I did Turbo Kick and I had done Pio.
No,
right?
Hip Hop Hustle before Pio.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Hip Hop Hustle. Then I decided that I wanted, I was kind of trying to develop like a flexibility class that was really different, you know? And so I had this idea, because I'm not very flexible, A, naturally, although I guess it's a relative term. And also I hate holding still. I hate it. I'd rather you give me a water torture or something. Like, it just absolutely cannot do it. So I came up with this idea to do a stretch class using like a stick, like a pole, you know what I mean? So that you had something to hold on to, because it wasn't feasible to like have a chair in the room, but you could hold on to the stick, right? And you could, if you're holding on to it with one hand, you could like kick your leg up and like stretch it up like really high, almost like a ballerina does with in a bar class, right? And so I had this idea and I'm like, Brett, we can manufacture these sticks and we could call this class, what do we call it? Turbo Stretch maybe?
I don't know.
I didn't have a clear name yet for the class. Maybe I did. Someone listening right now might be like, I have the VHS.
Christine
Dwyer, if you're listening, please, I know you are a turbo hoarder. I know you have this VHS somewhere, girlfriend. So anyways, we came up with this idea that we would manufacture these sticks. Okay, I came up with this idea, and they were called Turbo Kick Sticks. All right, and here's what we did. We took a white plastic pipe, if you will, that is like a PVC pipe, but was about how tall would you say? So four feet tall. And then on either end was a thick rubber stopper like you would see on the end of a cane.
Yep.
And then we had these, a logo made and stickers made. How old were the kids then?
Well, Brock, it was just Brock. Brock is, like, they're young. It's 3, 4, and 1 or something like that. You know, Brock's 3 or 4 and Sierra's 1, you know, right around there. We were in Sandbridge. I remember.
If we were in Sandbridge, then Sierra was under 1 because we moved when she was 1.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, so, okay. So what year is this? That would be...
2001.
Yeah, okay, 2001. All right. So we don't know where we're going to get these things manufactured. So I find this, you guys, this is like before the days. I mean, there was Google, but like not really. Was there even Google? I don't know if there was.
I don't think Google was
like a
what it is now.
I'll tell you what there wasn't. There wasn't any like Etsy. There wasn't any Alibaba. There wasn't, I mean, it was somehow, some way, I found a manufacturer like in China who made basically plain PVC pipe. Right. And we figured out like how many feet we would need. And I think we ordered something like maybe like 5,000 pieces.
It was a lot.
We had no place to store them.
They weren't assembled either, people.
No, they weren't assembled and we didn't have any place to store them. All of a sudden, Shalene's cockamamie idea shows up in the driveway in the form of a semi-truck flatbed backing up. Beep, 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 beep. We hadn't even thought about like where we're going to store this stuff. So we'd take we had a 3-car garage at that time. We took the cars out of the garage and literally it was floor to ceiling on their sides, not standing straight up, like on their, just on the, we didn't even have any bins to hold them in or anything. Just thousands of these stupid sticks. And then Brett's like, wait a second. They're not put together? I'm like, no, I figured we could do that.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun because I'm such a handy guy and like doing that. She doesn't like to stand still on stretches and I don't like to put anything together.
That's true.
Like I'll pay, I give me the floor model so I don't have to put stuff together. So now yours truly is like with, you know, we go down, we got to get glue. Like a
special glue that bonds rubber to plastic.
Plastic. And then we have to put this sticker on that's, you know, we didn't really do have a prototype really. So it was kind of like the first one that we made. And of course, we don't have a purchase order for these things. And so we're just making them to make them. Like we're hoping it takes off.
Yeah. And homeboy over here is not, he's not too crafty. And so like almost every other sticker, I was like, oh my God, do you not understand a straight line? And so he's like, I'm not going to help you if you're going to, we were literally like a sweatshop in our garage to assemble these 5,000 stupid sticks. And it, you know, a couple of clubs got excited about it. And I don't even know how we talked 24 Hour Fitness into buying those sticks and putting that program into their clubs. But every once in a while, I will see. I mean, how it's like 24 years later, every once in a while, I saw one of those sticks the other day, not at a 24 Hour Fitness, at another club. I'm like,
garage sale.
Yeah, I was like, no way, the turbo kick stick. I mean, I just had completely forgot about that. I mean,
You just call that what it was.
Sure, what?
An epic fail.
Oh, well, I mean, an epic fail? I don't know that we lost money.
We didn't go into like...
What's the biggest failure we've had?
In business?
Yeah.
Well, real estate was the thing we bought up in Big Care.
Oh, the condo.
Yeah. We lost. Yeah, that's the most we've ever lost in an investment.
Yeah. I heard somebody talking about buying and renting the other day. I was listening to another podcaster and they were talking about how these people on Real Housewives, they can't possibly actually have money because if they did, they wouldn't be renting their homes because a lot of them rent their homes. They would own their homes. And anyone who's got, you know, any amount of financial stability, they own their home. They don't throw all that money away renting it. That's what this podcaster said. And that's what we used to think that too until we became more financially literate. And I would say that the distinction is after, you know, and I'm going to give all the credit to Brett here because he just like really started paying attention to all these experts and learning a lot about it and then running the numbers and looking at like the taxes and the maintenance and how much you put as a down payment and then recognizing how much money you had the potential to earn if instead you took that same money and invested it. and there's a lot more money to be made. It makes so much more sense in many cases. So I just wanted to say, and I'll let you explain a little bit better because you're this is like your wheelhouse, but we used to believe that too. And we had friends that would rent, and we're like, why are they doing that? Like, why aren't they just buying, you know? And it's a mind shift. Like, and especially for the generation above us, like, I don't even know if my parents get it. Like, because they've just been so conditioned and brainwashed into believing, like, that's the only way. And I will say that if you're not investing it, absolutely, it makes, you know, more sense to.
You just said why.
Okay, here, you explain.
You just said why, because your parents, our generation, it's because they were brainwashed. Because all the banks got together after World War II and was like, okay, we need to make like a branding around owning a home, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do a brand story about it's the American dream to own a home. Well, yeah. So you put down a large sum of money.
20% today.
Yeah, 20% today. And don't come to me with all this loan, and if I'm in the military, I get this and this. I'm talking about the general public. You shouldn't even be buying a home if you can't put 20% down and also have an additional 20% in the bank. I don't think you should buy a house with a down payment unless you have the down payment plus that exact same down payment still left in the bank.
For what?
For emergencies, so you're not house broke.
But when you say the bank, if we're really going to be technical, you don't even mean the bank because you shouldn't have money in a savings account.
No, but I'm talking about just, like liquid, put it in a high yielding bank account, like a wealth front. But so anyway, I'm not going to change people's mind on this deal because, you know, people just are all like, oh, I've made so much money on my home. Okay, well, that's great. But when you start putting all the property taxes and all the maintenance and all the upkeep and da 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 da, and you sell the house, you got to give 6% away. And when you buy the house, it's a whole thing, right? So I've run the numbers and I can be honest with you. We've owned 4 homes and going into the last home.
4 homes that we've lived in.
4 homes that we've lived in, right? So I'm not talking about properties where you're renting them and getting income. I'm talking about your primary home, whether you're renting it or you're owning it. If you're owning that home, if you will be serious about investing, I will bet anything that over a 10-year period, that if you invested all the extra money and the down payment, because, right, you have to put 20% down. So you take the 20% down, you put it into the market, right, the stock market. And then all the extra money that you're going to save, because you will save money because you don't have to pay when you rent, you don't have to pay property taxes. You don't have to. So figure out whatever that mortgage payment was going to be. And if you've put all the extra money into investment at the end of 10 years, I guarantee you, you're going to have more money saved in your investment portfolio than you will in your house, because your house can, like, after 10 years, your house might not be worth any more than it was. It could be worth less, right? And, you know, sometimes people do get lucky and their houses, you know, boom, and they get a great success. But for the most part, the only person that wins when you buy a house is the bank, because they own your house. You don't own your house until you're paid it off, and, you know, not too many people pay off their house, you know, so.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I would say there's always exceptions to the rule. And I think the biggest exception is if you know nothing about investing and you are just, what's the word, when you don't want to do it, you're whatever.
You have no interest.
You have no interest. Or you just know in terms of your behaviors and your how disciplined you are about investing money. If that's just not your thing, then you should buy a house for sure.
That should be your investment.
I think but for people who like really want to understand, here's the bottom line, who really, and this is where we got to, where we're like, okay, we don't want to work that hard. How about we figure out how to get our money to work a lot harder for us so we don't have to stand in a garage and glue rubber stoppers onto the end of PVC pipes while, you know, our kids are running around in diapers in this like dangerous setting. You know what I mean? It's like, we're like, this is brutal. This is so hard. There are so many things that we did when we were first married that you know, I'm often asked, you know, like I played that episode last week. I'm hopefully you guys got to hear it on Friday, the conversation with Kelly Roach and I. And one thing I'm often asked by people is because they hear from people who have, you know, got to a place where we are, where you no longer do the hustle, hustle, hustle. You work smarter and you live a more fulfilling, less crazy life. And people will often say, yeah, we hear this story over and over again. And the commonality is that you had to hustle first to get to that point. And I would say that's not necessarily true, because if we had had better mentors and better, if we had taken notes from a different kind of people at that time, we wouldn't have done a lot of that. We would have. That scares me. Every time we walk past this one house, they have like a voice that goes, "Hi, you are being recorded." Super creepy. Anyways, I think we could have avoided a lot of. We would have been a lot smarter with our money a lot sooner. We would have figured out how to delegate and how to get our money to make money for us. And we wouldn't have tried to do so many things ourselves. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, that took years before we did that delegation. And, you know, and we're still at the point now, even I would say we're a lot better at it, but we've gotten even more skilled at hiring out better people in the last 24 months.
And I, with your help, have gotten better at saying, nah, I don't want to do that. Even though it's like, that could help the business or that would be kind of fun to do that. But it's like, but how much do you really want on your schedule? How much do you like that you have to do? And so you've helped me to do that a lot. But anyways, my point is this. I don't think you have to hit a rock bottom. I don't think you have to go through those hard times if you have the right mentors, because I hear from 20 and 30 year olds all the time, like, you know, these young whippersnappers that have me on their podcasts.
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them who have figured it out.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's encouraging.
Our child is one of them.
Yeah, I would say that's very true. Both our kids.
Actually, Sarah too. She's figured out that. Wait a second.
What?
I can do, maybe like, she's figured out like, wait a second. I can get these brands. I love fashion. I can reach out to these brands that I like, and they're going to pay me to create content. And she literally makes, if she worked for a normal job, like doing like a marketing agency or something like that,
mm-hmm.
she makes as much money doing one ad that she would make for the marketing agency in the whole week of work, 40 hours a week, working 9 to 5.
It's pretty crazy. There's a lot of opportunities there. That's the other thing is like, I've heard people talking about how it's a misnomer, it's misguiding people to lead them to believe that they can create work or create a job for themselves or, you know, become a content creator. But the fact is you can, but not everybody can, right? But, you know, the person who's teaching you that doesn't know whether you have that ability or not, but you need to know it. Ladies, the more research I do on collagen, the more I realize it just needs to be a must. We've got to supplement with collagen, well, especially if you care about the texture and the tone of your skin, the way your hair grows, your nails, and all of these things become like an issue once we're over 40, and it just feels like it goes downhill from there, which is why it is so important that you supplement with collagen. It's what the body uses for your joints, your muscles, your organs. It's how you can support your gut health, your metabolism, your cardiovascular health, your immune system, and so much more. I have been getting mine from Organifi. Obviously, you know, I love Organifi. They're pure for my brain health. I take Immunity for my immune system. And as a listener of The Chalene Show, you get 20% off when you go to Organifi, Organifi.com/Chalene. Use code Chalene. That gives you another 20% off at checkout. That is Organifi.com/Chalene. Use code Chalene for 20% off. Listen, get yourself some collagen. Make that a regular thing. I just mix all three of those things in my water bottle every single morning and a few other supplements as well. And we love that Organifi is 100% certified organic. It's a great company with great products. Check them out. Again, Organifi.com/Chalene. Anyways, some things I wanted to update you on. First of all, this is just really some really, really exciting news for all the ladies over 50, okay? So we went out to dinner last night at, what was the place called?
Prime 112.
Prime 112, Miami Beach. We walk in and Brett goes, hey, your favorite human's over there. And I look over real quick, just real quick, and I see it's dark, okay? And I see a big, thick black guy at the end of the table, and I don't want to stare. So I just do a quick, like my head whips there and whips right back. And I go, Rick Ross. One of my favorite rappers. And Rick goes, oh, it's Shaq. I'm like, oh, okay. But he is. He's super funny. All right. So we sit down at the bar. We're waiting for our table to get ready. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And so like, I'm like, I'm going to go and light a little fire under the hostess. Just, you know, hey, how much longer? So I walk over. I had to go past Shaq's table, which was probably how many dudes were there?
12.
Okay, 12 guys. Shaq's at the head of the table holding court. As I'm walking back to our table, you know, I smile at him and he goes, hey, hey, come here, come here. And I, you know, so I smile. And it's one of those moments where it's that parasocial thing where you have watched this person for so long that you assume they know you. Right. So I'm like, oh, and he goes, what's your name? And he kind of said it like we'd met before. And I go, Shalene. And he's like, oh, okay. And he goes, how old are you? And I was like, I shook my head. He goes, because you're beautiful. You're absolutely beautiful. I mean, you're just amazing. You're so hot. I'm like, first of all, I'm like smiling from ear to ear because I'm like, this is so funny. I cannot wait to tell. I'm in the middle of this happening and I already can't wait to tell you guys. And I can't wait to go tell Brett that, like, you know, Shaq and I have to break the news to him. And so I go, I don't think you're supposed to ask a woman her age, but I don't care. I'm 53. How old are you? And he goes, I'm 52. And I go, wait a second. I'm not 53. I just remembered. I'm 55. And then all the guys at the table started laughing. He goes, well, anyways, you're just beautiful. Breathtaking. I said, oh, well, thanks. You know, I'm just like super flattered. It's not a flirtatious thing at all for me anyways. And I get back to the table. I'm like, Brett, Shaquille O'Neal just proposed. I'm like, all I have to say is, like, I'm not telling the story to brag. I'm telling the story because what made me so excited about that moment is that he wasn't flirting with he was obviously flirting with someone who's over 50. So the point is, ladies, listen, you know, I hear from you all the time. You're like, I feel invisible. If you start thinking that way and carrying yourself that way, you become that way. And you can be invisible at 25. You can be invisible at 35. You know, and you can steal the show at 75. I can't tell you how many times, like, I'm thinking right now when we were at that wedding that we went to with the Delvaux and the hotel. And, we, you know, when Drew and I crashed that wedding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What city was that? In Chicago?
Chicago.
Yeah, so we were sitting in this hotel in Chicago, and there was like a bunch of weddings going on. And this woman walks into the lobby. And I mean, like, every head turned. Like, just the way she carried herself, the way she was dressed, how she just screamed confidence and elegance and was dressed impeccably. She was with a much younger man. I don't know if it was like a relative or whatever, but I had to go over and I just told her, I'm like, you are breathtaking. Like, I love your style, everything about you. And she's like, no, it is all about the outfit. I care what I look like. How I dress tells the world what I think of myself and what they should think of themselves. And it was just, and she had to be at least 75 years old, but probably looked 60, I'd say, you know? So I think the lesson to be learned here is, like, first of all, pull yourself together, embrace the fake, unless you don't want to. You want to go all gray, rip off your lashes, go all natural with the nails, dirt under your toenails, go for it. If that makes you feel amazing, go for it. But, like, also, don't be afraid to, like, embrace the fake. You know what I mean? Like, there's lots of fun things you can do with makeup and with tape and with procedures and with hair dye and with clothing and like, just get on Pinterest and get some ideas and don't be afraid to do whatever you need to do to feel amazing, because unless you really enjoy feeling like you're invisible, do something about it. You know what I mean? That's what I have to say. The nail saga continues. This is ridiculous. Just, you know what I'm really rallying against? Have you guys come, like, chrome nails? So chrome is, it's very popular right now. You get a regular nail polish color, gel, and then they do this little powder. I showed Brett the whole situation today. They do this little chrome powder, and they get like a cotton applicator, and they just kind of like buff it into the nail, and it makes your nail look like chrome. Then they paint a top coat over it. The whole procedure takes less than probably 4 minutes. Okay, 4 minutes max. And if you want chrome on your nails, they charge you here in Miami $25. Now listen, I'm all about, it's gonna be loud right now because there's a fountain in the background. Do you wanna go straight or that way?
Go straight.
Okay, cool. So I love the chrome, but I'm not doing that. It seems ridiculous to me. Ridiculous. So, I mean, because how does that make sense? Where at the same salon, if you want a 25-minute shoulder massage, it's $25. Okay, please help me figure this one out. I know my nail techs right now are like screaming at me. And I'm sure you have like some reason why it's supposed to be that expensive, but no. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. So I sure did order myself the powdered chromes on Amazon under $5. I bought myself a little $9 UV light, $9. Okay, so now we're up to $14 and I've got chrome for life. I'm not playing your little reindeer games. This salon, I know you're like, why don't you just go to a different salon, Shalane? I know. I probably should.
You like it. It gets you in and out fast.
They do, and I've had some really great experiences. I've just had some bad ones recently.
And you can always get in there.
A bunch of my friends go there.
You should set up a little booth outside.
And do chrome.
Chrome for 15.
Woo! Undercut, yes. Okay, I might actually just have to do that. Okay, ever since I started using oils to keep my skin very, very hydrated, like castor oil, etc., you know, I put it all over my body, and then I don't want to have to wash my hair the next day. So even though I've been sleeping on a silk pillowcase, I'm like, how do I keep my hair completely off my shoulders, off my skin while I'm sleeping? And I caved, and I got a silk bonnet. Do I feel a little bit like Little House on the Prairie when I put it on at night? Yes, I do. But hear me out, it's totally worth it because now my hair is not getting oily at night and it's protected because there's a huge difference between these cheap sleep bonnets that you can get on Amazon and using a Blissy sleep bonnet. I also bought, they have these super giant oversized scrunchies that I'm obsessed with. They're so cute. And you could use that. Sometimes I use that instead of the sleep bonnet. Again, it's silk. It's 100% organic. With this big giant scrunchie, I sometimes just put it on top of my head. It reduces frizz and tangles, prevents breakage. It's 100% mulberry silk, which means it's washable and hypoallergenic. If you want better hair and better skin, silk is where it's at. And as a listener of The Shalane Show, you can now try it for 60 nights risk-free by going to blissy.com/Shalane. But you want to make sure you use code Shalane2 when you check out because that's going to give you an additional 30% off. That's crazy. So even if they have a sale, you get an additional 30% off. Blissy, BLISSY.com/Shalane. Use code Shalane for an additional 30% off. We started watching the Brandy Melville documentary. I don't know. You know what? It felt a lot like the Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah, it felt a lot like that. I don't know.
It was that era where like social media was just starting to take off and they were basically using young girls that, you know, popular young girls to like sell their product. And that's when we stopped watching. I was like, I've seen this rodeo before.
Yeah, it felt like the same thing. And, you know, it's not nearly as bad as the other documentary we watched, Quiet on the Set. Like, not even close. But it still is kind of along the same theme of around the same time frame. So I think that'd be the early 2000s and in mid-2000s.
Well, Brandy Melville was, Sarah was like in 6th, 7th grade, so that would have been like 2010, 2012.
I always thought it was like the most atrocious, unidentifiable clothing anyways. It was not, I don't know how anyone could look at something and go, oh, I bet that's a Brandy Melville. It just looked like cheap clothing. I never understood it. But anyways, that whole era so many things have come out where you're like, were any of us paying attention? Like, how did this all happen right under our noses? But I bet that's all, like, the documentaries are going to come out from whatever's happening in 2024.
Whatever happened during, yeah.
It's still, like, these things, we don't realize how dumb we are until, like, a decade later. So I'm curious what you guys think the thing is that we're going to all go, what were we doing?
Well, it's, guarantee you, it's going to be a lot of the, it's already been uncovered, is the, like, the locking of the devices that were, that people were able to, like, you know.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you know, the kids playing on either their parents' phone or an iPad and being solicited by, like, adults.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
We already know what's happening.
Like, I think another big scandal that it's going to be, like, a huge thing, like, 10 years from now, is all the kids who were exploited by parents on social. Like, the parents who adopted kids because it made for a great YouTube storyline. The parents who just kept having babies and dressing their kids in a variety of shades of beige.
Yeah, I think that would lead to...
and making bread.
I think that would lead to, you know, especially if it was somebody famous, would be a great documentary in 10 years. You know, especially with some of the new people that we knew and that, like, the whole story blew up and stuff like that. But I think what I'm talking about is going to be one of the things that hit the masses and is going to be more of a, like, a epidemic. You know, almost like there's going to be a lot more than we thought was happening because kids aren't telling their parents. And,
interesting,
you know,
Brad.
And only the parents that found out, like, got it stopped. But there's...
So what you're referring to, and I'm not sure if it was clear, is... how many kids these days have been exposed to either porn or predators while playing games rated for children on their devices, not even just phones, like iPads, and, you know, they're at grandma's house and they're playing, I don't even know the games, but we've had that happen to a few friends. And the kids were
like, understood it enough, and it's like, Mom, this is weird. Like, you know, and they're like, you grab the phone.
That's really interesting.
And, you know, it's cyber, you know, so it's hard to find those people.
Oh, impossible. And it's still a major violation. It still robs the kids of their innocence. So that is very interesting.
I think that's got a chance. I mean, I pray that it didn't infect too many people, but I have a feeling.
The last thing, and I took a few notes on this because I did it yesterday and it made me realize, like, there's a bunch of things I do that make me feel this way. And I'm going to put these things into the category, and you can think of your own while I'm sharing my list. This is a category of things that randomly make me feel embarrassed, and they're just dumb things, but they randomly make me feel really awkward and embarrassed. Okay? So the first one is when I'm on a walk somewhere, and I decide, okay, it's time to turn around and go back. If I just, like, turn around in the middle of the street, that just feels really dumb to me. Like, if someone sees me do that, I don't know why. I want the route to just be continuous and loop it back home. Like, turning around mid-walk is randomly embarrassing. Other things that are randomly embarrassing is, I've only done it like twice, eating alone in a restaurant where it's not a place where you'd see people eating alone. Like, it's a, you know, place where couples are there or there are dinner parties.
When have you eaten at a place that...
Like, right? Because you're trying to think, when have I ever even done that?
Yeah.
Like, once when I had a doctor's appointment with Dr. Hidalgo and I was, like, starving. And I remember why, but there was, like, this lapse of time where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get something to eat. And I had heels on, so I'm, like, walked into the first restaurant and sat down. It was, like, in, you know, fancy New York and this fancy restaurant. And I was just, like, so uncomfortable. I wanted to put, like, a little sign to explain to people why I was there by myself, that I was perfectly capable of eating by myself, that if I wanted to, I could invite people to join me, but I didn't.
Like, they say that that plus going to the movie theater by yourself, so eating alone in a nice restaurant by yourself and going to the movie theater by yourself is like a sign of self-confidence.
It probably is. I'm probably revealing all of my insecurities right now. Here's another one. I don't think you're going to relate to this one at all, Brett, but when I'm wearing boots without socks, I'm just wearing boots and socks because I like to do that because then my feet don't slip as much. And then I'm in a nice store and I want to try on shoes. And then you take off your boot and the shoe salesperson looks like, no, and they're disgusted, and they hand you that stupid little, you know, cut off nylon footie. That's embarrassing. I feel like he might as well just say, like, you disgusting homeless woman, like, get out of here.
Feel a little shame.
I feel shamed by that. Yep. Also, when I'm at the dentist and the dental hygienist dabs my drool, that's embarrassing to me. I'm like, I know I can't help it. I know that there's drool running outside of my mouth, but like that there's someone there to like dab my drool.
If I could change one thing.
Yeah.
And like, if I could just not, there's a lot of things that I could change, but like something that everybody has to do.
Yeah.
For like, if we have another lifetime, that the next lifetime that we have is that we just eliminate dentistry.
How about we eliminate teeth? Like when...
Well, you guys, let's have teeth.
Okay, but they're annoying. Why don't we... The amount of money that I've spent on my teeth, why don't... By the once all my adult teeth are in, when people's adult teeth are in, why don't we just, like, dissolve them all? I don't want to yank them. Yanking them is so prehistoric. The sound, the feeling, your mouth is cranked open. There's, like, five people in your mouth. It's just so prehistoric. Can't we just find a way to dissolve all of the teeth and then put in a nice set of dentures so everyone has like perfectly nice teeth and we don't have to keep going back and
why don't we just make it like that? That's what I'm saying. Like if I had a magic wand, everybody would just be born with like teeth that were like strong as bones and they just never broke and it was just they never got cavities.
You could eat hard candy and yeah, popcorn and
anything and the dentistry would just go away.
Oh man, we just lost all of our listeners who are dentists. Listen, we know we need you, and we know it's not fun for you either, but, like, it's just such torture.
Sometimes you have to, like, just sit there and smell somebody's gross breath as they, like...
You mean if you're the dentist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting. That's what I'm... That's my dentist. That's my fear is, like, I brush in my teeth 10 times doing the... I don't even do mouthwash, but I will literally pull into a 7-Eleven or a convenience store and get... It's a mouthwash before I go into a dentist's office.
Oh.
Because I don't want to be like, I don't want to be the guy that they're talking about. Like,
no, that's randomly embarrassing for you. Okay, another randomly embarrassing thing for me that I realized last week. So I told you guys I had my lip filler dissolved, and then, which I guess I needed to do. That's a thing now. And so then I went back and they retouched them up. And you won't be able to tell. Like it's very, very minor. But when they deflated them, I had this. It's called a blind mole on the like very, very edge of my lip. And so when they took the little bit of filler I had in up there out, it was like, oh, so pronounced. I was like, what is going on? Yeah. Uh-huh. And thanks. Yeah, it wasn't cute last week. So anyways, I went back in to have, you know, the filler put back in, same spots. And I found another thing that was randomly embarrassing is when an adult woman, they're like, they have to take before and after photos, right? And so they're like, do you have makeup on? I'm like, hello, what do you think? And she's like, okay, we just need to take that off. And so I sat down in the chair and she was like wiping my makeup off. And I found that randomly embarrassing. I said, can I do it? Because it just felt weird. It felt like a little kid getting their face. You know when your mom would like spit on a napkin and clean like the chocolate popsicle off your cheek? And so I felt like just sitting there with this like, woman wiping my face while I'm sitting in a chair. It's one thing where you're like laying back and getting a facial and somebody does that. It's like, it's a different story. When you're just sitting there, I just felt like a toddler. Just a toddler.
It just brought back a vivid memory of getting my face wiped down and how aggressive my dad used to do it when like...
Oh, all dads are aggressive.
I just remember my dad, I was like, shaking my head around like I was, like he was, I was like, is my head gonna pop
baby syndrome?
Is my head gonna pop off right now?
Yeah. So, do you have any that you can think of that are randomly embarrassing? The other thing is, and I know everyone does this, but like when I walked into the gym today, and the girl goes, "Have a good workout," and I go, "You too," but she's like working at the front desk. So then I'm like, "If you are later, I don't know." It's like I'm sure every other person says that to her, but yeah. So those are my randomly embarrassing moments, and I hope you enjoyed them. Thanks for hanging out with us. For those of you who are on Patreon, little update. So we're not done, although I did take you up to the point of Dave's passing. And 11 will include a lot of the unanswered questions. So a lot of the details that I kind of wanted to keep out of the story because I think it's more interesting to look at them after the fact. So that'll be 11. Brett is also going to share his kind of take, I guess you would say.
Commentary on the episode.
Yeah, Brett likes to provide his commentary on the episode, and so you'll get that this weekend. Anyways, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I love you. I mean it. And we'll talk to you soon.